I met Brother Stanley Daniels several months ago. He's actually a brother-in-law here for Anson, who plays on the platform, the guitar, and sings for us. And Brother Stanley has also brought his wife this morning, whose name is Lena. We actually traveled with him together to India only a few weeks ago. He's only available to speak with us this month of October because he's going back to India in November to stay there for at least maybe 3 months or longer. What Stanley's doing right now is going to India, the northern part mainly, but also even down south at a Bible school his father helped to establish, and helping to train up leaders, minister to people that are going into the field of planting churches and evangelizing and expanding God's kingdom in India. He also has brought today his children, Jonathan and Jessica. He was a relationship manager in J.P. Morgan Chase, resigned that great lucrative job back in 2007. He felt that God had called him to lay down that life of a lucrative career in business and take up the mantle his father himself had for over 40 years, 42 years of ministry, and minister to the people of India, both north and south, and also in between. And so in 2007, Stanley resigned the job, went to Dallas Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, received his master's in Christian education, biblical studies as well, and is now ministering many months of the year, again, mainly in North India, in the states of Uttar Pradesh, and also in Bihar. I can tell you that this man has a great spirit, that God's anointed his father, and I believe the mantle that God put on his father is now, the baton's been passed on to his own son. And I was just so impressed to see the foundation's been laid there. There are so many good quality people being raised up, being trained, being discipled, but also being sent out to unreached areas of India. And they're just doing tremendous things to help expand God's kingdom. Let's welcome now this morning as Stanley comes, ministers to us. And we just want to bless you in Jesus' name and receive you also in Jesus' name this morning. God bless you.
Good morning. It's indeed a joy for me to be here, especially with Pastor Mike, my friend Jack, my brother-in-law Anson, my friend Jeff, all of you. You know, it was so good to be in India with Pastor Mike. We had some good time there to minister and to see what God has been doing over there. And Pastor Mike enjoyed the ride in the car. And so it was a good time. We had a great time together. And this morning I would, before I go into the word, I just want to share my testimony in few words, how the Lord has led me. And my wife Lena is here, my father-in-law and mother-in-law, and my children are gone to the children's worship, looks like. And hitherto the Lord is good. You know, I never expected to be in stage or anything. I didn't want to. I liked sitting in the back. When I was seeing here some people who are saying the same thing, I remember those days when I never wanted to come here. And God had a different plan. Went through, like Pastor had mentioned, I was working for the bank a long time. I started my career in 92 and worked until 2007. And I worked only for one company, it's J.P. Morgan. So it's not a place I wanted to leave, but God had a definite plan. One day when I was giving my resignation, one of my friends came to me and said, "Sandy, are you crazy?" And sometimes it seems crazy, but even for me, I didn't know what I'm doing. What am I going to do? I don't know. But if God has given us a burden, He's willing to carry us. You know, in 2001, God gave me a burden for Bihar. It's one of the poorest states of India. And I did not know what I'll do. I've never been to Bihar before till, I think, 2008 is when I first went to Bihar. So I did not know Bihar. And I asked my dad, he was alive at that time, I asked, Daddy, I have a burden for being here. He said, you can't do it. It's a tough place. You've been brought up in cities and such places, and how can you go into such? But 2003, my dad comes to me and says, we'll do something there. And he set the foundation and the basic thing. And the day of the inauguration of the work was the day my dad passed away. And but the work in that area did not stop. It's grown. And I just want to show you a few pictures from there. And this is our children's ministry we have over there. That's when my wife and children, we were in this family. This is a VBS. We have a work which we take care of these kids. Every day we feed them. You can see we provide them clothing. And it is supported by part by Compassion International. This work, I'm talking about this side. And they help feed these children every day. And God is being doing. With children's ministry, we are being able to access the different areas. And we can see how many, in our VBS sessions, how many children come there. These are all pure Hindu children. We're not talking about children coming from Christian houses. And no, it's all, they're learning the word, knowing the Lord for the first time. And that's, we give them training every day. They come morning 6:30, you won't believe it. Before we are out there, I'm out there, the kids are there. And because they want to learn, and because they are given food too, and so that motivates them. These are the small churches we have. We have churches in 300 plus villages, small, small churches. And there are some bigger ones. And it starts with all this children work. And because the parents come to see the students, the children learning the word, and suddenly they come to know the Lord. It's only been 7 years since we started, 2007. In this short time, the work has been growing. Last year alone, this was a special meeting we had, nearly a good number of people came to know the Lord during that meeting. And the Lord has been touching, and we had 360 people taking water baptism last year. And this is the first picture you see, giving the training before the baptism last minute. And God has been moving in those areas. If we surrender our life, if I was sitting in Clear Lake in the area, how much impact could I make? Nothing. But when you surrender your life, you do not know what you're doing. This is our last year's graduation of our training center. Just you saw a small graduation here. But we had about 30 students graduate from our training center over there. And we give them 1 year training. And they go to the fields. You know, these are not easy places for us to go. None of us can, it's very hard. But they have access, they have language, they have this. And we put along with these people, Pastor Mike have seen from our graduates from our four-year program and MDiv and BTH program, they go hand in hand, and they're able to access the deep in villages of northern India. It's not our ability what God looks at. God look if we are available to do His will. It doesn't matter where we are. So this is the small town we have our main training center, but it's a place in a rainy day, it's a terrible place to go through. So I think that's next. This is a picture which we recently took. You can see someone you know there. This is our missionaries who have been working there. So it's 180 of them, and we had a good time. So please pray for the work there. And this is what I want to say in a few words. We have a Bible college back in Kerala. There are about 180, 160 students studying there, staying and studying there. It's a four-year program. But this is a shorter program, what I showed you just now. But the thing is, what matters is, if we surrender our life, God will use us. For today's thought, I'll go quickly to the Word. I don't want to spend more time on the testimony and sharing those things. That's good to hear, but only the Word of God can touch lives. For today, I would like to turn our attention to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my fathers." The passage here talks about Elijah, a great man of God, who is desperate at this point of life. He's so concerned of his life. Who is this man? He was brave to stand against, he was able to command rain to stop. He was able to do a lot of things, but at this point, when Jezebel tells, "Your life is going to be over," he reacts differently. You know, some years back, when I was working in the bank, you know, we have a first day of in going into retail banking, we had a training class showing how do you handle when we face trouble. So, what different problems? So, one of the videos they showed us is a banker sitting over there. Suddenly, a customer walks in. "Can I help you?" He said, "Yes," and chose a gun. That was the last day that lady, that woman worked for the bank. Because she became totally desperate. I mean, tough, you know, when you face life and death, our thinking changes. What happened to her? When she said she's leaving, bank said, "There's a door for you, you can go." She was a good productive worker, but what does happen in this passage here? Something similar. He is facing his life. And he says, "Lord, it's enough. Lord, it's enough. I work so hard, but I cannot handle it any longer. I am done. I cannot do anything more." Yet when we say such statements at our workplace, at different situations we are, our corporate world will say, "Goodbye, thank you for your service. You have been so good last so many years, but you're done." But what happens here? God has a different plan. What does he do? Here is Elijah saying, "I just need to rest here. I just need to be here. I can't handle anything more." He says, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take my life." All Jezebel says is, "Your life is going to go." And he's saying, "Take my life." How do we handle our tough desperate times. Here, what does God do? He does not reject him. He does not reject him. He sees value in him. He sees, I'm Elijah, you are not done. When we go to verse 6, it says, verse 5, ending on last verse 5, arise, eat. Then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. What does God do for him? Provides him his basic food. Basic needs are met here. When corporate world shows the door, God says, wake up, son. Wake up. I have a purpose for you. You know, many times when we look in John chapter 6, it talks about Jesus feeding people. And what the people wanted to do, make him the king at that time. When we have our needs met, what do we think? They are only concerned about our needs. We just want something. Oh, I'm satisfied. But what God gives us is not for us to be just satisfied, but because he has a purpose for you. You know, we want to be, what do they, it was so nice for them to hear in, let me go quickly, John 6. And it says, Jesus says, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has set his seal. When we go in the previous passage, it says on 6:15, so Jesus perceived that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king. When? When he gave them food. So when you get our needs, okay, I want you to do certain things. We are looking for our materialistic things. When we live in this world, we need material stuff. But what is our purpose? Do we understand what's God's plan in our life? Here, Elijah, what is his situation? He's still complaining. He can only see Jezebel. He can see that he's in a terrible situation. He can see that he's the only one. He does not see the God who controls the situation. Many times that happens to each one of us. If we can see who controls us, our thinking and our everything will be different. What does God say? Tell him. He says, arise, because I have a long way for you to go. 40 days. He is here, wanting nothing to do. He just wants to sit in the back, like some of us said. Sit in the back. Can spend 3 days in the field, but not in the front. Not criticizing you. That's reality. We all are the same. To stand for God, it takes an effort. here, these people are seeing value. What does Elijah say? Oh, I can't do. I did all this in the past. I did these things. I can't do it anymore. Where is he? In the cave. But God tells, I need you out of that place. What is his purpose? To transform him spiritually. A transformation. God understands first your physical needs, then God decides your transformation. Here, what's happening? Are we interested in a transformation? Isaiah, in chapter 6, it talks about Isaiah looking at everything. But when you see God as God, when you see God in a different level, our thinking changes. Our attitude changes. Here, what has happened to him? He's not looking at God at that time. He's seeing the problems around him. When you see the problems, you don't see God. You know, there was a great man in this country, which most of you, some of you may know, or I don't know who or how many, by the name of Jim Baker. God used him mightily. But what happened to his life? His ministry grew, a televangelist. Used, but what happened is his thinking went. He, instead of focusing on the ministry, he thought about himself. It can happen to any of us. But when he got an opportunity, he said, I forgot the God who called me. The thing is, when you understand where you are, God says, I want to change you. Elijah was a strong man of God. But when the problems come, he's totally upset. What do we look? Where do we look when we have trouble? Can we look unto the Lord? Can we look unto the Lord? Here's now a man. He's so far, what was he saying? He's the only one. That is his complaint. He says, everyone are gone. I am the only one left. God does not say anything to him. Many times when we grumble, what happens? God does not sometimes immediately answer your complaint. He just gives you the little thing to calm you down. He gives you the little food and little water. He's not giving you all the answers at that time. But what do we say? Oh, I'm the only one. That's exactly what Elijah says here. But first, God transforms who he is. He takes him to Mount Horeb and shows him a different direction. And now, what does it happen? It says, he asks him, in verse 15, it says, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. Go, return. Hey, I just ran from there because I had a problem. I have a problem and you are telling me go back there? does not say Jezebel is gone. The problem is not gone. But God is transforming who you are. God is strengthening us who we are. When we are desperate, when we have no strength, we think we are useless. When we think you are useless, we say, it's enough. But when we are strengthened, God says, go back. Because I'm not done with you yet. If you, you know, when my son was a small kid, we had a video. It's by Max Lucado. In that, it's a Hermie and the caterpillar. You know, the caterpillar wants to, what can I do? Everyone else are flying out. Everyone are doing this. I'm the only one like this. Because he does not understand who he is going to be. He does not understand his purpose yet. He looks at this small insect. Oh, they have this. He looks at the snail. Oh, they have a house. He looks at another one. Oh, they're flying around. He sees a bug. Oh, wow. But the caterpillar cannot understand one day a beautiful butterfly is going to be flying around. Many times we don't understand our purpose. We sometimes think this is all we have in front of us. The same thing is the situation of Elijah. But what does God say? You know, you still have things to be done. What is he going to be doing now? He's going to be appointing someone to take as a king of. Somebody to replace Ahab. Somebody else to replace himself when his time is over. Your life is not over because of a problem. Your life is not over just because somebody is saying you're going to be over 24 hours. Because until the Lord has not done with what he has to do with you, he says, I have a purpose for you. But do we see God controlling our lives? Or are we sometimes totally down, desperate, not knowing which way to take? Sometimes we are totally down because we don't see the total picture completely. But don't worry. God says, I have a purpose for you. Many times here when you go further, what does it say in verse 18? Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal. When does he answer that question? The beginning of the thing, he says, I am only one. He thought he was only one. Don't think there's nobody. God has kept people around us. Many times we think, oh, without me, everything is over. Without me, nothing happens. And when Elijah said he is the only one, God did not tell him, you are the only one? Yeah, I have many others. He didn't say that. He first calmed him down. First patted him. Gave him what he needed. Transformed him. And then said, buddy, you're not the only one. He didn't condemn him. Most of us, we would have said, what are you talking about? If you go, I have 7,000 more. He found value in his people. What is our long-term perspective? Now, what is our mission perspective? One day, a servant of God wanted to do something for God. This is in India. He went into ministry. He had no vision. He said, I don't know what to do. He knew he wanted to go to a city called Bombay. It's a big city. So. And he decided he'll contact some mission agencies. But that did not work out the way he wanted. The Lord told him, go to some railway stations and sit there. I'll show you a direction from there. So he goes to different stations. One day while he was sitting in one of these stations, it's a station called Dadar, and he was sitting and watching. Suddenly a kid comes from the back and tets him. And he tells, Uncle, I need some tea, chai. He knew he was just asking for some money for something. This guy did not give him money. He took him to the store, bought him a chai and some, gave him a biscuit. He went by. Next day, the Lord said, go back to the same place, sit in the same place. He sat there. Now it's not one, it's five guys coming behind him. They touched him. They said the same thing. He bought them, all these five kids. A few days passed. The group started getting bigger. So he said, okay, let me bring some tortilla and some potato, something else made, and I'll give it to them. So he packed 40 packets. That day there was 40 children there. He gave these to all the 40 children. One kid sitting in the back, Uncle, you didn't get one? He said, I don't need one. No, you need to have it. The kid comes forward with the foul smell. Terrible hands. And he can't think of taking the food from his hands. At that time, if he does not take, he's rejecting the child. So he thought, let me close my eyes and take a bite. But while he was closing the eyes, he saw a vision of Jesus. His hands pierced. He gave everything for him. That same Jesus has paid a price for each one of us here. It's not our ability what God is looking at. He says, I have paid a price for you to reach the lost. Sometimes we feel, how can I go out of my comfort zones? How can I do certain things which I have not done? Oh, they look so and so. But if God has given you a vision, He is not done with you yet. Yes, a desperate person like Elijah, who had no hopes, God saw value. If our society will reject us, don't worry who rejects you. As long as our Lord is there to carry us, we don't have to worry about tomorrow. this morning, what is our attitude? We may think how we are going to handle the next day. How am I going to go to do so and so things? We don't have to worry about all that thing. If God has a plan in your life, He will strengthen you. He will take you and be able to do whatever He expects of you. May God bless you in this.